If you all have your Bibles, would you please turn to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 this evening. While y'all are turning there, I just want to thank Pastor real quick. Pastor, thank you for having the college. Thank you for allowing us to be able to do this tonight. Thank you for your service and your faithfulness to our church. So you're going to give me 100 on that next test later, right? All right. Proverbs chapter 25. If you're there, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you for the weather which you gave us. Lord, thank you for the rain. Lord, would you please be with the service tonight? Would you please fill me with your spirit, Lord? Please continue to give me the words to say. And Lord, please help us all get something from it. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all may be seated. Thank you. You know, Pastor's pretty cool. I know why you like it up here so much. You tell them to stand up, they stand up. You tell them to sit down, they sit down. How about y'all do some jumping jacks now? I'm just joking. Half of y'all probably can do them anyways. I'm going to talk about control for a little bit. I'll give you one question. What is in control? Control means to exercise influence over, to suggest or dictate the behavior of. You know, we've all had people in our lives at one point that have told us what to do. Whether you're a kid, you have a parent that tells you when you're supposed to get up, where you're supposed to go to school, when you're supposed to eat, what chores you need to do, tells you when to make your bed, tells you when to go to sleep. If you're a teenager, you probably, well, even middle school, you have teachers. They tell you, they give you homework. They give you a test. They'll give you notes that you need to study for. If you're even men and women in here, who here works a job? Who here just came from a job tonight? You guys have a boss, right? You guys have a boss that tells you what to do. They tell you when you're supposed to arrive for your job, when you're supposed to leave the job, what you're supposed to do at your job. We all have people in our lives that tell us what we should and shouldn't do. But sometimes you're on your own. If you're under 18, and you turn 18 one day, you graduate high school, you got to make a decision. So what controls your life? We're going to talk about two people. If you'll turn over to John chapter 12 tonight, John chapter 12, and verse 1, John 12, verse 1 through 8. It says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying have she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Here we find Mary. She's the sister of Lazarus. And she had this ointment. She had this stuff that was very costly. It cost a lot of money. When I think of something that costs a lot of money, I think of a brand new Lamborghini. Obviously, they didn't have those in that day, so she couldn't give him that. But she had this ointment. And so she probably saved up a lot of money for this ointment, or maybe it was in her family, her family's name for generations. But she had this, and she used it for Jesus. She even wiped Jesus' feet with her own hair. This tells me that she gave Christ something very valuable, that she loved Christ more than anything. She was willing to give up the very best thing that she had for Christ. That's one side. That's Mary. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 26, we'll find another person here. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." If you'll jump down to verse 47, it says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staffs, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Here we find Judas Iscariot. He's on the complete other side of the spectrum. He loves money. You know, in verse 14, it says that he went unto the chief priests. I find that interesting because the chief priests didn't go to him. The elders didn't go to him. He went to the chief priests and he asked them, he told them, he probably told them this. He was probably like, "Hey, I know Jesus, and I know you want Jesus. What will you give me if I give you Jesus?" And in verse 16, it says he sought opportunity to betray him. He was already thinking about it. It didn't just happen by chance. He was already thinking that he was going to betray Jesus and get what he could for it. Can I tell you that money controlled Judas? But I think he loved Jesus. In chapter 27, verse 3, it says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hid himself." You know, I think he did love Jesus. At one point, he probably thought Jesus was the best thing in the world. But then his love for money outgrew his love for Jesus. It came to the top of his priority list, and Jesus was pushed down. Well, he didn't realize his problem until after he betrayed Jesus, till afterwards, then he regretted his decision. There's a lot of things in our lives that can take top priority. There's a lot of things in our lives that can push Jesus down from the list. But first, let me ask you a question. What has God done for you? Why would we push him down? The first thing, God gave us salvation. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Titus 1:2 says, "In hope of eternal life that God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." He gave us salvation, and that is reason alone for Christ to be at the top of our list, but sometimes he isn't. He also gave us so many blessings. He gave us family. He gave us health. He gave us prosperity. You know, I was able to grow up, I'm thinking of my own life, I was able to grow up in a Christian home. I was able to grow up in a good church. I grew up here. I was able to have a lot of blessings in my life that a lot of people don't have. You know, sometimes I think of the bus kids and I think of what they have, what I compare it to what I have. These bus kids, throughout the week, they go to school. They go to a school that teaches them wrong things. It teaches them perverted things like evolution. And they teach them things like how abortion is okay. They teach them things that gay marriage is okay. It's not okay. It's not. And they're taught all these things throughout the week. And then Sunday, they get a five-hour break from all that, and they're able to come to church. They're able to see God's love, only for 5 hours. There's 168 hours in a week. Only 5 hours do they get to see God's love. We take so much for granted in our lives. We really do. Not only did he give us salvation and blessings, he also gave us promises. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Romans 8:35-39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He said nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. You know, a couple weeks ago, I had something happen to me that I wasn't very happy about. My parents, actually, they went to Colorado for a little bit. They took Charity, and she wanted to get her senior pictures taken in Colorado. So they went and they asked me if I could take care of the dog and the cat while they were gone. I was like, okay, you know, that's easy enough. So I was on my way home. It was a Thursday night. On my way home from work, gonna feed the dog and the cat. That was my plan. Go to bed. Not a lot happened. So on my way home, my tire blew on my truck. I was not happy. I pulled over to the side of the road. I checked out the damage, and even Phil Swift and his flex tape could not fix that. It was a lot. So I called Israel. I asked him if he could help me out. He came over. He helped me out. And then while we were making a plan, Michael Woods passed by, and he was on his way home. Well, he pulled the side of the road, and he helped us out too. Well, he told me that his family has AAA towing, and they said I could use it. Thank you again, Brother and Mrs. Woods. So they get free towing throughout the whole month. So I was able to get my truck towed for free. That was a blessing. And then I called my dad later that night when I got to the house, called him up, told him what had happened, and he told me that he could use that I could use the Jeep. Well, the very day before, that Wednesday, he bought a new vehicle. So if my dad hadn't bought that vehicle, I wouldn't have had a vehicle to drive while my truck was down. So yes, this bad thing did happen in my life, but the Lord worked it out. I do think the Lord's trying to remind me. I think he said, hey, hard times are going to come, but I'm still going to take care of you. That's what he taught me personally. Can I tell you what? He supplied my need. You know, after that, I was talking to Israel, and usually our conversations aren't very deep, like at all. So, but this one, it was a little bit. We were talking, and I asked him, what would it be like if there was no God? What would it be like if we didn't know God? Because like I said, we grew up in church. I knew of God all my life. When I was 11, I got saved. But I tell you something, there are people out there that don't know God. There are people out there that are suffering a lot worse than we are. We take for granted what we have. But thank goodness there is a God. And he supplies our need. You know, like I said before, there are a lot of things that take priority in our life. It's Psalm chapter 135, in verse 15 through 18, it says, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." And that chapter is talking about idols and things that can take priority in people's lives. Can I tell you what these things have done for us? Nothing. Nothing. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have no power whatsoever. You know, a lot of examples come to mind, like electronics, you know, like TVs, and, you know, you got video games and phones and things of that sort. Well, I got my phone here. If I set it right there, if I say, okay, phone, I want a large pizza, go get it for me. It's not doing anything. Now, I can call the place and order it, but it's off. By itself, it can't do anything. I have to tell it what to do with my fat thumbs or with Siri or whatever. They have no power. And the same thing is with video games, movies. Other examples come to mind, like sports. These things can take priority in our life. Hobbies, whether it's drawing or writing or like artistic hobbies, maybe outdoor hobbies like camping, fishing, or hunting, anything like that, they can take priority in our lives. Books, even. If it's the wrong kind of book, it can take priority in our life. How much time are we spending on these things rather than spending on good things? You know, last year, when COVID was going on and everything, Michael Price got Trevor and I into golf. And I like golf. And one of these days, I'm going to beat you, Brother Michael. You're going to regret teaching me golf, eventually. So, but we went out a lot, didn't we? We went out, I don't know, at least once every 2 weeks, once a week, because there wasn't a lot to do because of COVID and everything. Well, can I tell you something? I spent a lot of time playing golf. For some reason, it did not improve my game, but I still spent a lot of time doing it. I spent a lot of time, and I saw that my time for other things went down. You got to be careful with this sort of thing. You know, not only can electronics and hobbies take priority in our life, I think people can too. I know we all have family in here. We all have, and we all love family. At least I hope you do. And I know we want to make our family happy. We want to please our family. But if your family wants you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, what are you going to do? Are you going to choose God, or are you going to choose your family? What's at the top? I think of friends. If we're not careful, the people we hang out with can influence us in such a way that God can be put down. I think of at work, sometimes they'll invite me to go to like a barbecue or go play basketball with them or something, and usually I don't go. Because one, I'm bad at basketball, and two, I don't want to socialize. But I say no. I don't want to have these people influence my lives in such a way, because they're all lost. Why would I want to hang out with lost people when they can bring me down, whereas I can hang out with spiritual people, like some of you? You know what else, besides family and friends, I think our family can take priority in our life, or ourselves. Many times, I think we worship ourselves, and we worship what we do, and we worship our own spirituality. Sometimes I think we walk around and say you're involved in a lot of ministry, which is good, but are you doing it for the right reasons? You say, you know, oh, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm on a bus route. I'm in the choir. I sing. Well, why are you doing it? Are you doing it just to puff up your chest and say, hey, look at me? Or are you doing it to please and glorify in the Lord? Now, there's a story. It's called The Case of the Precious Poodle. I'm going to share it with you guys. The Chicago police had a big kidnapping on their hands, or perhaps I should say dog napping. The thieves broke into Edwin J. Seafarth's car and stole his silver blue French poodle. Seafarth was so upset over the loss of his pet that he said that he was willing to part with $2,000 just to get him back. for a dog. And he said, if whoever took him will just bring him back, I will ask no questions. To finance the ransom, Seafarth was planning to sell his favorite statue that he had. It was a 14th century statue. It belonged to his family for generations. And he was willing to part with it for a dog. You know, the tragedy of this incident does not lie in the loss of his pet. It lies in the loss of this man's values. He put too much value on this dog. He said that the dog was worth more than anything to him, anything else in the world. Well, is it worth more than his own life? Is it worth more than his own soul? Is it worth more than his loved ones? You know, perhaps the exclamation of speech when he said that, maybe it was because of his sadness, but this world that we live in has a lot of perverted and strange idols, does it not? A lot of them. But how can we put God first? Well, I'm glad you asked. The first thing I think we need to do is fill your mind with the right things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now think of the Bible. When you put the Bible in, if you're a morning owl, read the Bible in the morning. If you're a night owl, read the Bible at night. If you don't know what you are, figure it out and read the Bible. No one should put the Bible in. We should put good books in. There's nothing wrong with reading, but there are bad books and there are good books. There are books that would help you spiritually. You could put these in. You know what else is also good music? Music that would glorify and lift up the Lord. I know a lot of people don't think that music's bad. A lot of people just say, well, it's just words and it's just, you know, rhythm and music. Well, it's not just that, because those things can affect your heart. Those things can affect your life if you're not careful. So the first thing is fill your mind with the right things. The second thing is focus on what God wants rather than what man wants. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You know, if we focus on what God wants, we will be judged. I don't know, at work, if they ask you to go for a drink or something, and you say, no, I'm a Christian, they're going to judge you for that. They're going to look at you weirdly. They're going to think of you as a very weird person. But we will be judged. We should do what the Bible says rather than what man says. You know, I think of last year when COVID was happening and people were telling us to close our doors. But thankfully, we have a pastor that believes the Bible rather than man. Because we don't need to close our doors. So the first thing is fill your mind with the right things. The second thing is focus on what God wants rather than what man wants. And the third thing is pray. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, we should start our day by asking the Lord to keep our focus on him. I know a lot of times we get busy with work or school or ministry or what have you, and you get very busy and you get going and running, and then you forget God and you just leave him in the dust. A lot of times our focus isn't on him throughout the day. We should try to keep our focus on him. We should ask him to help us keep our focus on him. We should also ask him to keep us from wasting too much of our time when it could be better spent elsewhere, whether it's with any of our hobbies, sports, anything like that, because these things can get pushed up way up here, and God can get pushed down. So in conclusion, I want to ask you this question. Where are your affections? What means more to you than anything else in the world? Remember Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 30. It says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is here, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know, oftentimes we're much like Judas. Oftentimes, I think there's a lot of people in that. We do love Jesus, or at least we did at one point, and we do want to do what we can for him, but then the love of the things of this earth take priority, and then Jesus gets pushed down and cramped to the bottom. I think a lot of us do love Jesus. If you know of somebody tonight, I hope you'll get it right, because very soon that temptation, or whatever it may be, that innocent thing that you think is not bad, could very well impact your life in such a way that you regret it for the rest of your life. So what is in control of your life? Let's pray. May you follow the Lord.